From New Hampshire Public Radio, this is Word of Mouth. I'm Virginia Prescott. And now to a sobering but shockingly common topic that may be disturbing to some listeners, sexual assault in the military service. Men and women who sign up for military service put their lives on the line for our country. Yet a woman serving in the military is more likely to be sexually assaulted than killed by enemy fire.
He said he was going to the bathroom and he came into my room and that's when he raped me.
The entire time I was screaming and yelling for help and for him to stop. Nobody came to the door, nobody came to help me, came to my rescue or anything.
They made it very, very clear that if I said anything, they were going to kill me.
Those are just some of the women featured in The Invisible War. The film won the Audience Award at this year's Sundance Film Festival and was made by Oscar-nominated documentary filmmaker Kirby Dick and Amy Ziering. The Invisible War lifts the veil on one of the military's dirtiest secrets and is now available to be viewed on iTunes and will be released on DVD and cable on demand on October 23rd. And Kirby Dick is with us from KPCC in Los Angeles. Kirby, welcome to the program.
Thank you so much. I'm happy to be here.
You know, more of those voices that we could listen to, they go on for quite some time in the film. Pretty shocking. That's a lot of women.
Oh, yes. Not only women, but men as well. According to the Department of Defense's own estimates, 19,000 men and women were sexually assaulted in the U.S. military last year. And the numbers have been as high or higher, probably going back for generations.
And men, I guess, less likely to report the assaults.
Absolutely. Around 14% of sexual assaults are actually reported. Most men and women don't report because they know that very rarely are these crimes prosecuted in the way that they should be. We personally talked to three women who were single. They were assaulted by a married man, and it was the woman who was either charged or threatened to be charged with adultery.
That was just staggering to me. And these women, you do focus mostly on women's cases from the Army, from the Navy, Air Force, Marines, Coast Guard. And all of them betrayed. When they brought their cases forward, nothing was done.
That's exactly correct. The first betrayal, of course, is the sexual assault, the rape. But the second betrayal is when they have the belief in the system to come forward and report, then the military turns on them with the second betrayal. And in almost all cases, they end up being forced out of the military. Now, keep in mind, these are men and women who are very patriotic, who joined the military because they believed it was their duty to serve their country and were joined to have a career in the military. All the men and women in our film said to me personally, said, I don't want to be involved in a film that is anti-military because in spite of everything that's happened to me, I still love the military. And I chose to become a part of this film because I wanted to make sure that no other man and woman experiences the same thing that I experienced.
Well, in fact, that you spent some time in the film looking at the quote-unquote training program for new recruits and members of the active duty military. I wondered, why don't they just show your film?
Well, they are starting to. We're very pleased that the Department of Defense, rather than denying that this is a problem, is actually starting to make some significant changes. And one of those is actually using this film as part of a training program for many of the active duty members.
I'm really glad to hear it. Well, let's get into some of those stories. Many of these women were brutally raped and had tremendous physical symptoms long after the rape, including Corey Sioka. Tell us a little bit about her.
Corey was a member of the Coast Guard, and she was sexually assaulted. And during a sexual assault, her assailant hit her so hard in the jaw that it actually shifted three discs in the back of her neck. Later, when she reported that, nothing was done, and then her assailant later went on to actually rape her. When she got out, she went to the VA to try to get health care. And even to date, they haven't done the surgery that really is required.
Corey's shown in a couple of different outfits at a few different times in the very same situation. Let's hear a clip from the film.
Counselors are unable to answer your call at this time.
Please stay on the line. The calls will be answered in the order received.
Minutes could save you hundreds on car insurance. It's a St. Louis holiday tradition. Stay away from my house.
Hey, this is Stan.
Hi, Stan. I just wanted to check the status of my VA claim.
Still no file decision on it yet.
Okay, it's...
It looked like it's about a year old now.
Yes, it is. Okay, it's still pending. Did it say what status it was in? Well, it looks like they've gathered all the information that they need, but it still hasn't moved to the rating board yet.
Okay.
Thank you for calling, ma'am. You have a good day.
You too, thank you.
That's a clip from the film The Invisible War. Kirby Dick is with us, the filmmaker. We could have picked a number of different cases of women from your film who are not either given justice, the proper respect, or even the proper care. What is going on in the culture of the military that lets this happen?
Well, for a long, long time, this was not given the priority that it should have been given, in a large part because up until very recently, the unit commander could decide whether to investigate and prosecute a sexual assault. So the unit commander may very well know the assailant, may very well know the victim, and so they have an incredible conflict of interest. And oftentimes they're motivated because they don't want a record of sexual assault in their unit, and so they don't allow it to go forward. To Secretary of Defense Panetta's credit, he has elevated that decision to investigate and prosecute to the level of 06, which mm-hmm. is a colonel or Navy captain. And that is a good first step. But he kept it within the chain of command. It really needs to be moved outside of the chain of command so that there is no conflict of interest.
Is the incidence of women, and I'm focusing on women here, is the incidence of women being raped inside of the military service higher than civilians?
It's hard to say where the incidence of rape is higher than in the military than in civilian life. What we do know by several Navy studies that have been done over the last decade is that men coming into the military have either attempted or committed rape at twice the rate of men in a similar civilian population. And we also know that men and women coming in the military are more likely to have been assaulted. So the military has really a perfect storm condition here.
Especially if you add to that drugs and alcohol, which come into play here in many of these rape cases. I want to talk a little bit about two of the women who were assigned to the very prestigious Marine Barracks in Washington. This is the oldest active post in the Marine Corps.
It was a partying and drinking culture. The atmosphere revolved around going out and partying and drinking.
I was ordered to drink. I was ordered to attend the drinking events.
My boss even said that they were mandatory to me. She's like, we do our best work at these events.
We went to various pubs and bars, and the goal was to do a shot at each one, all paid for by the Marine Corps.
You're talking about drinking events where other senior officers are drinking to the point of peeing in their pants, you know, passing out on lawns. This is the norm.
At one bar, I had
required to drink?
I really don't know if it's changed, but certainly this was the culture as of last year at Marine Barracks, Washington, which is the most prestigious Marine base in the world. Drinking was completely rampant, but also sexual harassment was as bad or worse at this base than at any other base that we encountered. It was just surprising because the men and women from this base guard the president, and it's really shocking that this is happening there.
There was a campaign to educate active duty military through a series of posters. And the tagline there is, wait until she's sober. Like, you know, that's how you prevent date rapes. You just wait until she's sober. It seems to me a stunning lack of understanding about the motivations of sexual assault.
It's astounding, particularly given the fact that most men, most rapists are actually serial perpetrators. This is true in the civilian world, and it's true in the military. And these are people who are not going to stop raping by reading a poster. The way that you stop a serial perpetrator is you investigate and prosecute the crime and then incarcerate them.
Well, the pain of men does not get left out of this film. I'm thinking of the relationship between Corey Sioka and her husband, how difficult it is for him to deal with her sometimes erratic behavior. And there's an incredibly moving conversation with the husband of Marine Lieutenant Ariana Clay. She was a Marine raped by a senior officer and friend who later threatened her life if she were to expose him. Here is her husband, who is also somebody who served in the military.
When your wife doesn't come home to rummage through the house, searching for the suicide note. To call the police with one hand while you're restraining her from killing herself with the other.
I think The thing that makes me the most angry is not even the rape in itself. It's the commanders that were complicit in covering up everything that happened.
The experiences and the trauma of their wives have eroded their relationships. And really, it sounds like he's a husband whose wife is dealing with PTSD.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Most of the subjects in our film have very significant PTSD symptoms. Oftentimes when you meet them, they have to have their back to the wall. Almost all of them have weapons. Many of them have nightmares. Some of them, you know, very extreme symptoms where they can only, you know, shop at 2 and 3 in the morning. It really devastates them. And it's very sad because these men and women are some of our best service members. If the military would step up and take care of this, it would make for a stronger military and for a better society. And I'd like to say that the military actually has dealt with a similar problem in the past very effectively, and that was racism. In the 40s and 50s and 60s, there was a very severe problem with racism in the military. There were race riots. And so the military undertook a decade-long campaign to address this issue. And after that decade, racism was actually less in the military than it was in civilian society. And then what happened is these men and women left the military and took these values into society, passed those values on to their children, their friends, their communities. If we look at racism now, over the last 50 years, it has declined. It's still prevalent, but it has declined. And I think the military deserves a fair amount of credit for that. The military could also take this lead on sexual assault. Wouldn't it be nice to think 40 years from now we look back and we see that sexual assault has declined, and we can look to the military as one of the leaders and one of the reasons for that decline?
Kirby Dick, I want to thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you. It's a real pleasure.
Kirby Dick is the Oscar-nominated documentary filmmaker. The Invisible War was made in collaboration with Amy Ziering. It is now available on iTunes and will be released on DVD and cable on demand beginning October 23rd. If you'd like to see clips from the film, see some of the reviews, and more about Kirby's other work, please visit wordofmouthradio.org.